friends and family. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good. Everyone's busy thinking about other stuff. That's what's happening. That's why I think today's message will be really good for us, okay? Who here feels like they're pretty busy? Pretty busy. Who here is very busy? Who's here crazy busy? Great. You're seventh grade. You're crazy busy, Melody. All right. So every single one of us, I think everyone pretty much raised their hand, but busyness is this thing that plagues us, right? Every single day, we're just hammered with busyness. And the question we want to ask today is our busyness purpose-driven? I think many of us are so busy, we don't even take the time to step back and ask ourselves, why am I so busy? Are the things that I'm doing every day actually busyness that is purposeful, or am I just busy for the sake of busyness? Or maybe, worst case scenario, you're busy doing all the wrong things, and none of it is value added to your life or people around you, right? You can be busy doing all the wrong things. And so we want to look at our own lives. We're going to do the in-depth look into our own lives and say, especially as a Christian, how should our busyness look? What should the life of a Christian look like, right? When we look at a calendar and ask, if Jesus had a calendar and I could look at it, what were the things that he chose to do? What were the things that he chose not to do? How did he make those decisions in his life? And so that's what we're going to dive into today. And so as you know, I like reading a lot of articles, and there was one article that caught my eye recently. It's from the business, from Harvard Business Review, from the psychology section. And it was this lady back in 2016, she did a research, and it's called Why Americans Are So Impressed by Busyness. Her proposition is that we actually idolize busyness. In our mind, when someone is busy, that's a good thing. When someone is busy, that person is desirable. When someone is busy, it means that person is doing amazing things and has a higher social status than people who aren't busy. And so she goes on to do this research, and she gave a sampling of people some tests just to see if her theory kind of works out. And so I'm going to give you guys that same test, okay? I'll ask you three questions that they asked during the research. And bear in mind, we're thinking about busyness, and her proposition is that we all idolize busyness, and that's why all of us are so busy all the time. So here's the first question. Okay, the question is, who has a higher social status? Who's more desirable? And I'm going to present two situations. You look at it, and then we're going to do a raising of hand, okay? So this first person is Jeff. Jeff works long hours, and his calendar is always full. Jeff is a hard worker. Here's the other one, Tim. Tim does not work and has a leisurely lifestyle. All right, who here thinks Jeff has a higher social status and is more desirable? Okay, about half. Who here thinks Tim is the one that has a higher social status? Did you guys like raise your hand twice? Someone raised their hand twice. Okay, it was about break even, but it's like, looks like Jeff had a little bit more hand raised. And the idea here was, in the research they say, because Jeff works so much, it gives the impression that he's a higher social status, and therefore he's more desirable. Okay, Tim not so much. Sorry, Tim. Okay, here's the other question they ask. Who has a higher social status? Who's more desirable, okay? First one is Rachel. She's got a full calendar, in fact, so full that she has to use online shopping and delivery services. So everything's delivered to her. She doesn't have time to go do other things. That's Rachel. Then you have Katie. Katie has time to actually do grocery, and she goes to Whole Foods, which is expensive stuff. Okay, who here thinks Rachel has a higher social status and is more desirable? Just one? Really? What about Katie? Is it because she shops at Whole Foods? Okay, you guys have officially broken the the test. But in the research, people actually prefer Rachel and say, oh, Rachel is probably more successful, right? She's so busy doing so much work that she has no time to go shopping. And so she's willing to pay for delivery services, which makes it seem like she's even more wealthy. Here's the last one. So who has the highest social status? And this one has to do with what that person's wearing. So pay attention to what they're wearing on their heads and their ears, okay? So this one guy, he's wearing a Bluetooth headset. Okay. Anyone here wearing that right now? No? Sean? Okay, then here's the other guy. He's wearing a headphone. Okay. Who here has a higher social status? Who's more desirable? The guy with the Bluetooth? The guy with the headphones? About split. Okay. So the conclusion of the study is that the guy with the Bluetooth has a higher social status because he's busy, right? He's multitasking. He's probably working on his business while doing other stuff. But the guy on the headphone is basically a slacker. He's probably playing games or stuff like that. And so the whole conclusion of the research is that even though you guys don't really seem to fit their findings, but when they did that research, the conclusion was that Americans see busyness in things they wear, their lifestyles, things they do as desirable. And so it feeds into a never-ending cycle of, because I idolize busyness, I do more things to make myself look more busy. And you kind of get into this spinning out of control situation where you're constantly just busy. And they talk about the detrimental kind of impacts it does to your personal life. It takes a toll on your health, on your well-being, on your happiness. And so the conclusion really is saying that busyness isn't actually a good thing. And so that's the research. And I bet you all of us can kind of relate to that, because I look at my schedule and sometimes I just look at, you know, how things are double, triple booked and how am I going to do all these things at the same time. And so when I was prepping this message, it really made me step back and say, Carter, your calendar is madness. Are you even doing things that are purposeful, or is it just there because you think being busy is a good thing? And so that's the question we want to struggle with today as we look at the passage from Mark, right? If you look at your own schedule, can you honestly say that the things that you do on there are purpose-driven, or is it just busy work? So that's what we're going to get into. If you will open up your Bible, we're going to go into the book of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. But let me just lay out the context here before we jump in, so that I can set up the framework for why today's topic is about handling busyness, and more specifically, is our busyness purpose-driven, okay? Because we need to know why we're even alive. Why are we filling up our calendars with things to do? Is it all driving towards a purpose? And if so, what is this purpose that we should all be rallying our calendar and our precious time towards, okay? So here's what's going on. We are still in Mark chapter 1 after 2 months of going through Mark, but we are at the end. And basically what has happened so far is we have seen Jesus coming into ministry. He has been baptized. He's starting his ministry. And several things have happened that is positioning him to be in a very busy, busy season of his life, right? We know that he has gone into the synagogue. He has begun teaching with authority. And so the religious community, their eyes are going, who is this guy? He's different, and so people are paying attention to him. And also, he's been going around healing people. If you remember from last Sunday, he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and it says he even healed many of the villagers who came to him. And so his fame is really spreading. His reputation is spreading, and so people are starting to pay attention to this guy called Jesus. And so what we're going to start finding through the rest of Mark is just mass crowd of people are going to Jesus and following him and vying for his time. And Jesus could easily say, okay, I'm going to spend all my time healing people, casting out demons, doing miracles. I can do all that stuff. and that would be good, right? Healing people, that's a good thing. Casting out demons, that's a good thing. But somehow when we look at today's passage, Jesus is going to choose to do something else. And we have to ask the question, why is he making that decision? Why is he choosing not to do those things and fill up his calendar? What exactly and how exactly is he making up his decision to fill his calendar? How is he choosing busy work that is purposeful? And so that's what we're going to jump into. If you will turn to Mark chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 35 through 45. Okay, so it's going to talk about two particular scenarios. Our focus isn't necessarily on what's happening in the scenarios, but our focus ought to be, how is Jesus handling that scenario? What is he saying? How is he choosing to react to those things? How is he making a decision on what to do and what not to do? Because that will give us a hint for how we can handle the busyness in our life, okay? So Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Remember the night before he had been healing a bunch of people in the village? So more people have come, and they're like, "Jesus, we need your time. We want to fill up your calendar. Please come do something to help us." And this is what Jesus said. Verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. That's the first situation. Jesus completely ignores the fact that everyone was looking for him. And it's like, let's go somewhere else. Second situation, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. See, this is the situation that Jesus finds himself in. His authority, his miraculous signs and wonders, and his ability to heal people miraculously has gotten him into a predicament, right? Now people want his time. People are saying, "Jesus, you need to come to my house. Jesus, you need to come heal me. Jesus, you need to do this. Jesus, you need to do that." And so he's come to the point where people are mobbing him. What is he to do? We saw his first reaction is he just ignored what Simon Peter said to him, right? Peter said, "Jesus, there's all these people who need your help. Can you go please attend to them?" And Jesus just ignored him and said, "We need to go to the next town because I need to go preach." And the guy with the leprosy, he's like, "Don't talk about this." But the guy did it. And now it says here, as a result, Jesus can't even go into the town anymore because everybody wants his time. And so sometimes I looked at this and say, you know, Jesus, really, you couldn't even spare time to go help people? I mean, that's a good thing, right? Helping people is a good thing. Why are you choosing not to help the people who are obviously in need and you can do something about it? Why can't you go help them? That's a good thing, Jesus. Healing people, that's a good thing. Chasing out demons, that's a good thing. Performing miracles and helping villages, that's a good thing. Why aren't you doing that, Jesus? Why aren't you filling up your calendar to do these things to help people in need? And I think that's the same question that we need to ask ourselves. We can do so many good things every single day, right? I bet you if you look at your calendar, you'll say, all these things are good. Like, I don't know what I can take out or what I can remove. Like, we don't naturally want to go do bad things or do things that we think are going to waste our time, right? We fill our calendar up because we think these things are good things. And so Jesus has the same problem. Do I fill up my calendar with all these good things or not? And really, his answer for us is in verse 38. He says, "Let us go somewhere to the nearby village so I can preach there also." And this is what he said, "That is why I have come." All right, Jesus didn't just come here to do random good things to people. He said, "The purpose I'm here is to preach, is to tell people the good news." And what he's essentially telling us is that we need to be able to differentiate what is good and what is best. Right? Jesus could heal a bunch of people. Eventually, they might get sick again. Jesus could even raise people up from the dead, but eventually, they're going to die again. Jesus could cast demons out of people, and the demons could go bring a legion of other demons and possess that same person. And so he could have done all these things which are good in our eyes, but miss out completely on his mission, which is to do the best, is to preach the gospel. It's the gospel that saves people, not all these temporarily healing things that everyone is seeking Jesus to do to fill up the calendar. And so Jesus made it very intentional. He said, "I'm not going to spend time on these, and I'm going to spend time on preaching, because that's what's going to transform people's life, because that's what's going to give people eternal value." Think about it this way. Jesus' calendar and busyness was driven by a single purpose. It's the kingdom of God. In fact, in Mark 1, when Jesus said, "I need to go to all these other villages to preach," what was his message? Mark 1, verse 14 through 15 says this. Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." That was Jesus' message. While he was alive and while he was traveling around the different regions, that was his message. "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." See, that kingdom focus supersedes everything else that could have filled his calendar. And that's the same question for us. Like, when we're filling stuff up in our calendar, is it kingdom focus or is it not? And I'll be very honest, you know, a lot of things that I do, especially this week when I was kind of going through my calendar, a bunch of things I do aren't kingdom focused. And I ask myself, why am I even doing this, right? Why am I just wasting time when Jesus says here, "The time has come, the kingdom is near"? You got to take some action, repent and believe the good news. How can I fill my time up with stuff that doesn't really matter when the kingdom of God is coming, and that if people aren't repenting, people aren't believing in the good news, that they will perish? Like, I can't do that. And so Jesus is showing us that kingdom of God ought to be the highest priority for all of us, not random things that are good. So this is how I think about it. When I was working in Capital One, we always had these visioning sessions. We had like town halls where the CEO would tell us, this is the organizational mission, right? So for example, when I was working at Capital One, the mission was make money through financial services, right? That was it. Go make money through all these different financial services that we offer the customer. Go maximize it. And so that was our mission. And each department underneath that, their mission was to say, okay, I'm HR. How do I make it sure that our people are doing things in a legal way to get money, right? Or you could be in IT and say, okay, how can I build software and products that would enable us to most efficiently get money from customers? And so each department would map their objectives and missions to the larger organizational mission. And each team underneath those departments had their own mission, and each one had to map back up to the department mission and the organizational mission. And of course, individual team members, right? Your manager would sit with you and say, all right, what are the stuff you're working on? What are your projects? And if you had projects you were working on that didn't match up to the org mission, you're going to get scrapped, right? Those things need to be cut because you're wasting time. You need to be working on things that matter. Same thing for a team. If they find a team no longer purposeful and things they're doing don't match up to the org mission anymore, that team gets scrapped. So the whole purpose of doing that is to make sure everyone from the top down to the bottom are aligned in their mission and things they do and how they choose to spend their time and projects that they will sign up for, right? And so when you look at the calendar for your working schedule, everything on there ought to map back up to the organizational structure, to the mission. And so we think about it in terms of God's kingdom. So way up top, you got the kingdom of God. Like everything that happens underneath ought to map back up to that. And so right underneath is the church, it's us. Are things that we're doing in this church things that are purposeful and doing it and moving our community towards the kingdom of God, or is it not? I bet you if we started listing all the things that we do as a church, there are probably some things on there where we go, not sure why we're doing that. You know, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. We should probably ask that. And then you go down to the smaller group, small groups or ministry teams. You got Sunday school teams, you got small group teams, you got ushers, you got all these various ministries in our church. And we have to ask ourselves, are things that we do annually, things that are mapping back up and advancing and moving towards the direction of the kingdom of God? If not, then why are we doing this? Why are we filling up our calendar with stuff that doesn't even matter? And individually, as a Christian, we need to be asking that question. And this is the part where it just gets pretty rough, because sometimes we choose to do things that aren't even kingdom focused, and we know it, but we just want to do it. And this is the kind of passages that challenges us and say, your time is precious. Like, you don't have a lot of time. Your time is limited, right? All of us have a very finite time on earth. How are we choosing to spend it? If we are someone who is following Jesus, then we ought to be very deliberate in the things that we choose to do and not do. So let me read a couple verses here for us as a reminder on Christ calling us to refocus our life every day, to map up to the mission of God that is kingdom focused. So Matthew 6, verse 33, it says this. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This passage is about worry, right? We worry about a lot of stuff, and I can bet you the reason we're busy is because we're worried about something. So we're busy about work because we're worried we're not going to get money to support our lifestyle. We're busy with our kids doing like piano and sports and whatever because we're afraid they might not have a good enough resume to go to a good college. Like, all this stuff is driven by worry. Okay, and so Jesus here says, seek his kingdom first. If you can do that and you seek his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. Don't worry about it. All right, God has got your back if you focus on his kingdom. So fill your calendar with kingdom-focused activities. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26. This is another one. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And then this is the important one. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? For what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? See, the reason Jesus filled his calendar with preaching, it's because preaching saves souls, right? Jesus could go around and give us wealth and he could heal us and he could do all these things, but he's saying, man, if you got all that stuff, but your soul is in jeopardy, what good is that? And so all the things that we need to be doing and filling our calendar with ought to be soul-focused, right? Because the kingdom of God is soul-focused. And here's the last one. In Luke chapter 10, everyone knows this is about Mary and Martha, and I want us to pay attention to what Jesus says to Mary and Martha, okay? Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. So it says here, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So this is Jesus' response. This is awesome. He said, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, Martha's just busy doing a bunch of stuff, just like us. We're just busy running around, and sometimes we call out to God and say, "God, why aren't you putting people in my life to help me do the things that I need to do?" Right? And Jesus said, "Man, you're doing all these things. They're good. They're good." But Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what is better." Right? We can do a bunch of good stuff, but at the expense of better and best. And I think that's the trap that we all fall into. We do so many good things, but we miss out on what's best. And Jesus, through Mary and Martha, reminds us, hey man, seeking God first, being at his feet, pursuing his righteousness, that's first. That's the best. Going after souls that are eternal, that's the best. Everything else is good, but don't spend too much time on that. Because you're going to be like Martha, running around, screaming and yelling, and not getting to do anything that is of real significance. So that's kind of where we're heading with this. And, you know, this really challenged me, and actually it made me very uncomfortable. Because I know a lot of things in my life isn't kingdom focused. And for us to make changes is very, very hard. And sometimes we don't want to make those changes because we think they're good things. And like I said, they're good, but are they the best? That's what we have to struggle with. And we look at Jesus' example today. He could have done a lot of good things, but he didn't. He focused on the most important thing, which is kingdom of God. So to help us start making some transformation and changes in our lives, you should have this handout. If you don't, Yao Ming has some extra at the back. It's a handout. It's actually a book review called Crazy Busy. So Jordan is the one that hooked us up to this book, and we're actually studying this book in the college and young adult Sunday school class, okay? So we're about 8 chapters in. We have like 2 more chapters to wrap it up. But this book is exactly what we need today. Our lives is just busy, 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 crazy busy. And so you can read the rest at home, but I want us to spend maybe like 5 minutes on the one that says 7 reasons we're too busy. Okay, this is the part where it gets practical. This is the part where we all know we're busy and there are things that we need to give up. So what are some of those things? And so if you will see here, 7 things, I'm going to talk through it real quick. The first one is pride. The reason we're busy is because we're feeding our pride. And it says here that, you know, we work hard because we desire people to look at us in a good light. And that's why the study that I showed you from Harvard Business Review, that's what Americans normally get busy for, because they want others to perceive them as having a higher social status, as someone who's desirable, right? So that's pride. We're feeding into that. And so is that something that you have to deal with this week? Number 2, we do more than God expects us to. So this one talks about how we, as a Christian, there's always that low-level guilt that we're not doing enough for God, right? We're not serving enough. We're not praying enough. We're not doing this enough, or we're not doing that enough. And this here says that's not good either. You don't just fill up your calendar with ministry work because you feel guilty that you're not doing enough for God. Honestly, God doesn't need you to do anything, okay? God wants you to approach him in all his righteousness, approach his kingdom. He doesn't need you to do anything because he is God. But this one talks about how some of us have that guilt that we're not doing enough, and you shouldn't feel that way, okay? Hopefully in this church, no one is pressuring you to do any ministry work, you have the ability to say no. And so even me as a pastor, when I ask you about opportunities, you can just say no, okay? No pressure. You don't have to say yes to me. Don't do it out of guilt, because we will easily fill up our calendar very quickly if it's guilt-based. Number three, we fail to set priorities. This one may be like for the younger people who like have no methods for how they want to organize their life. This one just says you're bad at organizing your life. You're not setting priorities. So if you need tools and stuff like that, come talk to me. Got a bunch of it. Number four, we freak out too much about our kids. So the reason we fill out our calendar and our kids' calendar is because it says here we take on too much responsibilities for their happiness. And so we try to do a bunch of stuff for them, fill up their days with all kinds of things, because we think that will make them happy. Number five, we look at screens too much. So this is mine. I'm making a commitment this week to quit this, okay? So out of the seven, pick one thing you're gonna work on. This is mine. I do waste a lot of time watching like TV shows about Marvels and DC and really anything that's science fiction related. I like that kind of stuff. And when I binge on it, you know, 3-4 hours is gone. And my eyes hurt, I feel like crap. Don't feel like talking to anyone, all drained because I've been staring at that screen for 4 hours. And so for me, that is a commitment I'm making to cut that off completely. So my wife, my kids, you guys can check on me. And any of you, feel free to randomly hit me up and say, Pastor Carter, are you meeting your commitments to cut out screen time from your busy schedule, okay? Number six, we don't rest enough. A lot of us are so busy running around and we just never take time to rest, and that's not good. I mean, God created Sabbath for us to rest. And number seven, this one says that we suffer extra because we never expect to suffer. In other words, it's talking about busyness that works hard at all the wrong things. So are you doing all the wrong things and just filling up your calendar doing things that really isn't impactful, isn't purposeful? There's no direction. You just do a lot of busy things. So look at this list. If you don't have it on your way out, Yao Ming can hand you an extra copy. But the challenge is look at this and say, you know, God, which one of this here is my problem? What is causing me to be so busy that I've lost focus on aligning my schedule towards the kingdom of God, right? So look at that and make a personal commitment to yourself and to God, and maybe you get someone in your inner circle to be your accountability partner. So I know someone's going to pick the kids one. Moms. All right, so that's today's message. And I think, you know, let's picture this. Imagine your day where everything on your calendar is purposeful. You look at it and say, I know why I'm doing that. Imagine your day where you look at your calendar and say, wow, I'm doing that because it has impact on the kingdom of God. Imagine a day where you're looking at your calendar and saying, wow, what I'm doing today is valuable, not just to me, but people around me, and it's soul focus. Imagine that kind of life. That would be awesome, right? And it's not busy for busyness' sake. You know why you're doing these things, and it all map back to the kingdom of God. That's the kind of life that God calls us to live. That's the kind of example that Jesus set for us today in the book of Mark. And my prayer is that all of us can have that kind of life, where it's purposeful, it's impactful, and it has eternal implications. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. I thank you, Lord, for today's message. I know it is hard sometimes to step back and look at how we organize our time. And it's even harder, Lord, for us to have to go through the process of saying which one of these things are not important in light of the kingdom of God. And so, God, I pray for you to give us the boldness, Lord, to trust you in this, and that this week as we're working through some of the things in releasing from our schedules and from our calendars, that we can trust you, Lord, that you will take those things that we are clearing out for kingdom-focused things. And Heavenly Father, we want to experience you in that way. We don't want to do trivial things in our lives. We want things that we do to matter. And so, God, we thank you for this passage today, for challenging us in this way. We give you praises and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.